الله أكبر الله
Haji. You think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Pain and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. For the Lord and the law and the working man. And we could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front.
You can't take me. I'm free.
Our houses are protected by the good Lord and a gun. You might meet them both if you show up here, not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here. Way out.
There'll be a party come this November where we're gonna set things free. Good people gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country free. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are
and here we are. are once again. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 9th of January, and we went from one extreme to another here. We've had, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 below zero in the surrounding area here to, 2 days ago, I guess, it got up over 60 during the day. So we've got all that 14 inches or 20 inches of snow now is several inches of mud. Still quite a bit of snow around in the shady areas in the north side of the buildings and under trees and in the piles of people's plows. Still a lot of snow on the ground, but sure a lot of mud happening out there. I just got through walking in some of it. All right, let me bounce over here to the chat room and see what's going on. Mountain Shooter, thank you. And M. Glock, thank you. Nan made it in. Yeah, it's a good thing you set your alarm. That's what I have to do, too, Dan, to set my alarm. So I'm not forgetting it. All right, a lot of different things going on. I don't have a lot of gun stuff going on tonight. Well, I tell you one thing that is going on. This is a happening thing. Let me see who all is in here first. AZ Bounds just jumped in there, and Desert Rat, and Tinker, and Doc, and Mountain Shooter, and Nan, and NM Glock, and Pumpkin Cat, and Yakima Glock, and Anonymous. Okay, good enough. Well, let's get going. If everything goes well tomorrow, we will be on satellite internet by Liberty Lounge time Friday. So this is supposed to be ultra reliable. Said it very, very rarely goes down. And even at its slowest time, they say it still smokes Frontier at its fastest time. So that's a very good thing. So hello, Doc. And so we're hoping that we don't have any more interruptions for Liberty Lounge like we have had numerous times in the past. I hate Frontier Communications, just so everyone knows. I thought Quest was bad in New Mexico, and I don't like them either. But I would give anything to go back to Quest. Now, from Frontier, worst phone company in the world. Gotta be. Or in this part of the country, anyway. So, thanks, Doc, for doing that. Appreciate that. Okay, this is some good news right here. I like this. I was kind of surprised when I saw this, but the SPLC that we all know and love is now being faced with charges of racketeering and abetting theft. What they did was they got tangled up with the wrong lawyer here out of Baltimore, and he's filed a suit saying that the SPLC paid for stolen documents, violated confidentiality agreements, caused him to be fired, this lawyer. What was his name here? Glenn Keith Allen was fired from the city of Baltimore over his former association with the National Alliance, which is a white nationalist group. He said he admitted to the past support and the support of it and now claims that he deeply regrets that association. So I hope that this really goes the full speed ahead here and they get everything that they've got coming to them. That will be an awesome story. Got a couple of older stories here that I hadn't seen we're going to talk about here in a minute. But we're sure going to watch this SPLC thing. That's going to be a good deal. I hope this guy wins. And apparently, maybe even if he doesn't win his suit, that there'll still be charges. You know, from what I read here, he's proven the theft of documents and stuff like that, or paying for stolen documents and all that. Whether or not he's able to sue, I don't know, but they're still going to be charged with it. So I hope that all works out good. Let's see here. We're constantly, all that's in the news right now is about the border wall.
And I hope it gets put up there. I realize, and it's been mentioned to me many times, that, you know, there was no wall back in the old days, and that's true, there wasn't. And constitutionally, I think the wall is fine. I think that I haven't really, you know, Chris Ann Hall's got some good information out on that, but I'm sorry to say that I haven't taken the time to sit and listen to it yet. But the military and the government's job is to protect our borders. And if it takes putting a wall up to do it, then by golly, let's get it up there. But what I'm getting at here, you know, with all the crime that's going on, and this is what blows me away. I just don't understand so much, so often, so frequent, crimes committed by these aliens, these invaders. And it's constantly talked about. It's never ending on Facebook and in the news and everything. Well, in the news, not so much, but some. But it doesn't seem to light a fire under anybody. The Democrats are fine with that. They're not, they seem to just sweep that under the rug, and that's not even an issue. That's not even part of what they're trying to do. I'm just completely blown away by this. But here in Arizona, no, in Alabama, there was 4 illegal aliens that are now in ICE custody that were poaching deer just off the interstate in Hoover, Alabama. And some guy was paying for a hunting lease out there, and they were out there trying to hunt or putting up some, you know, salt blocks or whatever they do, and they heard a bunch of shooting going on, and they heard a bunch more shooting going on. And the guy called Game and Fish, and Game and Fish advised him to, he saw these people, and Game and Fish advised him to call the police until they could get there. So everybody showed up, and they actually, a couple of hunters, joined in with Fish and Game there, and they got these guys corralled and got their guns taken away and got them handcuffed and hauled off. And they caught them with one deer, and I guess they didn't realize the severity of what they were doing and admitted to shooting several more that they hadn't found yet. So I don't know how many deer they wounded and how many of them are going to die, but anyway, that's what's going on. That's why I think we need a wall. Most people shouldn't have a whole lot of problem with people coming over here legally, going through all the channels that everybody else does. You know, it's got to be frustrating. Well, we've talked about it before. There's no use going into it. It's got to be frustrating to these Mexicans. And I'm not even Mexicans. Yeah, I'd say even more so. People from Mexico that have gone through all the trouble and expense and time and frustration to get over here legally. Not to mention the people from every other country that spent, you know, thousands of dollars and lots of their time to get in here legally. And it's got to be pretty aggravating to have these guys just bounce over here, and then the Democrats want to just give them citizenship and get them on the Democrat voting roll there just as fast as they can. Let's see here. Yeah, that's another thing, Tebow. That bothers me. It really ticks me off. How two-faced and hypocritical are these Democrats? Where they voted for and spent a good amount of money, and more than once in the past, they get that wall built. But now that Trump wants to build a wall, no, hell no. But what I'm afraid of is this, and I'm very afraid of this. I have a tremendous fear that the Democrats are going to say, look, we're going to help you out, dude. We're going to give you all the money you could possibly want for your wall. We will build the whole thing. But you're going to have to help us get these gun control measures passed. Where they could say, you know, we don't want no semi-automatic handguns, no semi-automatic rifles, no high-capacity magazines. I mean, they could get beyond ending. And they'll give him, and now this is where we'll find out if all my support for Trump is going to drop in 1 second. I don't know how he'll react to that. But I do feel that they will offer that, that they'll tell him that that's how they'll get the money. You through executive order, or, you know, just make sure you sign the bill if we get it on your desk or whatever, and we will make sure that that money gets there for that wall. I have a terrible, terrible fear that that may be what happens. Doc, that is a very good point. The Democratic Party should be banned under RICO. It's a corrupt organization. Yeah, no kidding. How much more corrupt can you possibly get? Unbelievable. Well, is Pumpkin Cat's not with us tonight, is she? Yeah, she's been in there for a few minutes. Okay. Well, Pumpkin Cat, you'll be glad to know that Murphy is sitting in my lap right now as we're talking. And I'm going to have to get rid of him here so I can reach my computer. And, well, Murphy's turned out to be a pretty good cat as far as cats go. Can't believe I'm saying that. All right, well, let's move on here, despite the cat thing. I watched a video tonight that a sheriff up in Oregon posted. And as it turned out, it was excellent. And I know what people say when you try to armchair quarterback some of these videos and stuff. They say, well, it worked out, you know, the bad guy's dead and all that. I get that, and I hate armchair quarterbacking too. But let me just go through this with you real quick. Excuse me. There was apparently, I don't know why they stopped him, because they were the cops, I'm assuming we're in the same car, but I'm not positive because the cars never show up. But a female officer walks up from the front of the car and walks up to the driver's side of the vehicle. And she has asked for something. What he handed her was bigger than a driver's license. I don't know if it was an envelope with his registration and stuff in it or what. And about the time he hands her that stuff, as soon as she tilts her head down to look at it, he sticks what appears to be a revolver out the door and could have immediately killed her. Has it pointed right between her eyes, right dead level in her face. So before we go any farther with that, what I had to wonder about this is why since she walked up from the front, I know she's been trained to stay behind that front window a little bit, that driver's side window. But since she walked up from the front, I think that it threw her OODA loop out of kilter there, and she stopped in front of the window. And it could have very, very, very easily been fatal for her. Now, to her credit, I'll say that she dropped what she was doing and grabbed that gun arm with both hands. And the guy apparently wasn't that set on killing her, because he had time to pull the trigger. But and then she started screaming at the top of her lungs. And the guy's hollering, let go, let go. And he says, she says, I'll leave. Okay, I'll leave. And he says, well, let go of the gun. She says, no, and kept screaming. So I'll give her credit for that. The other cop, I don't know what took him so damn long to get up there. I don't know if he was having a donut or looking at his phone or what he was doing there, but or if he was in a car maybe behind her and farther away. Since we can't see that, I can't say what was going on. But it took him a long time to respond. However, when he responded, he came up there. She backed away from the window a little bit towards the rear of the car, a little SUV thing it looks like. And he walked up, and he didn't say drop the gun. He didn't say nothing. He stuck a gun in and shot that guy right between the eye. Boom. And it was over. And so that part of it worked out great. Good shot. Calm, cool, collected. He didn't sound that calm, cool, and collected on the radio when he was calling it in, but he did. He very, very nicely done. And you can see the guy. I mean, he was dead before the shell casing hit the ground. He shot him. Looked like right in the eye, or right between the eyes, right in the center upper part of the head there somewhere. And immediately, just a gush, just a flood of blood come out of there. I mean, by the bucketful. So he was gone, most Ricky Tick. So anyway, the only couple of things that I was wondering about was why she stopped right in front of the window like that. And she would have had a much better advantage if she'd have been behind that window. But other than that, I think she did pretty good. Screaming at the top of her lungs. But I posted on there, I said, you know, maybe this gal ought to sit down and all this is all over. She calms down a little bit. She probably ought to sit down and think long and hard about her future as a law enforcement officer. Because this may have ruined her, or it may have made her a better, more alert officer. You never know. But we'll probably never find out. All right. Let's see here. We got to get going. This is an old story, and I didn't know this happened. This story is a year old. And I usually don't do old stories like this, but I got to throw this in here. Why did something just make noise? A little bit of noise there. Okay. Is my volume high enough here? Let me turn this up just a little bit. Everybody said it was 5x5, so I guess it is. So anyway, we talked about this story when the day it happened or the day after, whenever they released the video. It may have been, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, I don't know. But you remember Walter Scott. He was the black guy that was painfully obviously killed and murdered in cold blood by a cop in South Carolina, North Charleston, South Carolina. It was done in 2015 is when the thing happened. This story came out 2 years later. It took him 2 years to get him sentenced, I guess, which I thought was ridiculous. It was so painfully obvious. But anyway, he was sentenced to 20 years. And like I said, this story's a year old, but I didn't know that. And I don't know how many of you knew that, so I thought I'd just throw that in there real quick for you. He shot this guy, and this was target practice was all it was. White cop, black motorist, unarmed, running away. And this cop shot him 8 times in the back. But he's going to have 20 years to think about it, so I guess that's okay. It's not okay. It's too damn bad, but anyway. Let's see here. Let me move a couple things around here real quick, just in case, and put that over there. There we go. That looks better. I don't know what the heck I keep hearing here. I've got some kind of something going on. Hmm.
All right. Well, I think it's about time for us to take a break while I try to figure out some of these noises here. So give me just a sec.
I'll be back.
I live, beware, man. I live, beware, man. Cross the desert there, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I'll travel, I've had my share, man. I live, beware.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking. Keep on your toes and don't stop talking about freedom.
Well, they're at it again. Your cultural and intellectual betters at the EPA have decided that your wood-burning stove is now an unacceptable threat to the nation's environmental security. They are going to make it illegal. Not only will it be made illegal, but you will be required to scrap it without compensation. This, by any reasonable measure, would be a taking requiring compensation from the government. But in our constitution-free zone of a country, nothing should surprise you anymore. Apparently, the EPA discovered that wood stoves make smoke. Yes, you see, smoke is mostly particulate matter suspended in the air. The EPA has decided that 15 micrograms of particulate matter per cubic meter of air smoke is unacceptable, but that 12 microgram smoke is just hunky-dory. It should not surprise listeners that this arbitrary distinction will instantly make the vast majority of wood stoves in America illegal. This, a variation on the Obama administration's stroke of the pen, law of the land, seems to be stroke of the pen, freeze in the dark, for you peasants. The EPA is an agency conceived during the 1960s era flower power generation's dewy-eyed environmentalism. Though a lot of folks thought it was a good idea at the time, it has, as should have been expected by anyone with more sense than a tie-dyed t-shirt, become a notoriously bloated, intrusive agency, infamous for everything from making air conditioning needlessly more expensive to using drones to spy on American citizens. The wood stove imbroglio is a prime example of government run amok. The specter of lavishly salaried and benefited .gov poegas enjoying taxpayer-provided heat while telling the Jones family of northern Georgia or the Smiths in Michigan's Upper Peninsula to take their wood stove to the scrapyard is beyond obscene. These parasites deserve to be crushed like bugs, though in defense of insects, our six-legged little friends generally serve more social utility than do EPA bureaucrats. By the way, POEGA is a new word I just coined. I encourage you to use it. It's an acronym for pimple on a gnat's ass, and is well applied to any fool of an authoritarian or totalitarian stripe. Here are some examples. That damn code enforcement POEGA said I had to dig up my petunias. Or, that damned homeowners association POEGA said we couldn't set up the grandkids' swimming pool in the backyard. See? It's easy and fun. But back to wood stoves. If I might be permitted to mangle a line from the firearms folks, they'll get our wood stoves when they pry the warm cast iron from our cold dead fingers. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good rockin' at it down from Tennessee. I'm just out off from out of San Antonio with a radio blasting and the bird dog on. As the beat travel, my head sound the town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got the trigger around, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar town.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge. every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Alright, let's get back with it. We still got a lot to talk about here. Excuse me, dang it, I should have done that while my mic was off. Get that out of my system. Alright, here we go. Here with this almost looks like a hit. It's brand new. It happened 7 o'clock this morning, and I don't know. There's that dang noise again. I don't know what the if there's been an update on it. I haven't seen one yet. It was updated 10 minutes after they posted it, but I haven't seen anything later on today. But this, I know I'm preaching to the choir again. I always do because I ain't got nobody else to preach to. But this just concretes my notion here that you should carry every moment, every waking moment of your life, even in your home, especially in your home. This has happened so many times, and it's happened in Phoenix so many times here in Arizona. This was kind of like, it's a little bit odd. They haven't caught the guy yet. The guy come into this home and picked out one guy, killed him, said he forced his way into the home and shot the guy. There was other adults there, but he didn't shoot anybody else. Says there was multiple other adults at home during the incident, but none of them were hurt. I don't know if these multiple other adults were in the same room or, you know, what. There was no robbery, after he pulled the trigger, he left. So it really looks like a hit. But if there was anyone else in that room, I can sit and blame people all day long from the safety of my laptop here, but, someone there should have been carrying a gun. And I don't know how many times we've talked about this exact very same thing here, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on it. That's the extent of the story. It's quite short because they don't have anything to go on right now. They're asking if anybody seen or heard anything to call the silent witness. I guess a silent witness takes anonymous tips and also call the Phoenix police, and that's it. It just seems a little odd to me. So let's move on here to another one. This one down in Mississippi, actually. So Doc may have already heard about this story. This is, I don't know what to blame this on, but there was a 12-year-old girl and a 14-year-old girdle. The girdle that old probably lost some of its stretch, but anyway, that murdered their mom after she punished them for trying to run her over with the car, with the family car. How did she punish them? She didn't call the police. She didn't bust their ass. She took away their cell phones. Oh, what a terrible thing. And it says that they believe that these girls retaliated with a bullet in the chest and the knife in the back. And the knife was still in her back when they found her. Said the
it's, you know, on the one hand, it's heartbreaking. It's infuriating that these kids even, you know, the bond between a daughter and her mother is about as strong as anything. It's hard to believe that, it's easier to believe that a boy, a son could do this. And often they do. I mean, we've talked about stories like this many times. But, this one was just particularly bad. So the girl's, let's see, she was stabbed in the back. The victim's aunt, when she drove up, they were like, TT, we didn't do this. I don't know why they call her TT. But, and I was like, okay, if y'all didn't do it, then where were y'all when the people who that was doing it did it? Say that three times. And I was like, okay, if y'all didn't do it, where were y'all when the people that was doing it did it? Okay. Anyway, the woman staggered outside after being shot and stabbed and was found by her sister. And they rushed her to the hospital, and then she died. So they, after trying to,
how many times have we heard where a someone's offspring, a child, has, didn't we just talk about one here not too, maybe it was Amy and I that was talking about it, where a child had done something, you know, this, in this case, it was trying to run them over with the car, tried to poison them, tried to, there was a foster child here just real recently that these people were scared to death of and actually put, alarms, you know, motion sensors on her bedroom door and stuff. So as she moved out of there, cause she made it very clear. She promised them that she was going to kill them. Now, when a foster child does that, I think it's time to unfoster that child and give it back to the state. Let them work it out. And when the state finally come and got that girl, they moved out of state. They moved somewhere where she couldn't find them if she got out. It was that bad. So I don't know when something like that starts. I don't know why I don't get law enforcement involved right away. I know it's your kid, but your kid is going to kill you. You're not going to help the kid grow up to be a productive member of society by taking its cell phone away and you know, that's not the way it works. But anyway, all right. Well, we do have some good news. Let me go over to the chat room here and see what's going on. I haven't checked here for a little while. Minnie, I'll have to check your links out in a little while and see what you do. Minnie always posts some good stories. She's on top of it. She's always looking for something to add there. I appreciate that. All right. Minnie just finally read the story. I'm going to read it right now. Let's see. Posted, somebody walked into McDonald's here carrying a dead coon, raccoon, by the way. I'm going to have to watch this video later. But a dead raccoon found its way into the California McDonald's on Sunday when a man brought the bloody carcass in and placed it on the table. As the situation unfolded just before 7 a.m. when an unidentified man was caught on Facebook Live, sitting alongside the critter at the chain's address in San Francisco. And the guy says, this guy put a raccoon on the table. The video appeared to show an older man with white hair sitting next to the raccoon. An employee pointed toward the man who then left the table, abandoning the deceased trash panda, and walked around the store seemingly talking to people. An unidentified man with gloves eventually uh,
An unidentified man with gloves eventually picked up the animal by its tail and dropped it in the garbage can outside, all the while creating a trail of blood from the table through the store and out the parking lot. That's a little different, I'd say. San Francisco police officers responded to the scene and engaged with the man. The department told Fox News on Wednesday that the man allegedly brought the critter into McDonald's, didn't meet the criteria to be taken into custody for mental health detention. Really? It was released at the scene. So you bring a dead raccoon in, lay it on the table, and you don't meet the criteria for mental health detention? Well, I'd hate like hell to get and be around anybody that did meet that criteria. Staff cleaned and sanitized the entire dining room and reopened the restaurant 2 hours later. Health department visited the restroom this afternoon and cleared it for full operation. Well, I'm not sure what that was all about, but Minnie, that was a little different, but thank you for putting that up there. Oh boy, let's see, pick up here where we left off here. Yeah, that's right, Yakima Glock. They're going to go for a real long time without their cell phones now, aren't they? Yeah. So here's a better story out of Chicago, by the way. There's been several of these out of Chicago, and in spite of what people say, crime rate is going down. They still have more than their share of shootings and murders every single weekend, but they are taking a slow downward trend. And part of the reason is just because this 25-year-old woman right here with a concealed carry license shoots her assailant dead at a bus stop. And that works. That's okay. See, for all these bad stories, there's always a good one to go with it. There was some of the past ones where a 63-year-old Chicago man was kneecapped an attacker who threatened him with a fake gun. This past New Year's Eve, a 29-year-old Chicago concealed carrier shot two assailants who jumped out of a car and announced their intent to rob him. And that was yesterday morning, about 6 o'clock, another young licensed concealed carrier defended herself from a would-be robber. The unidentified woman, age 25, was standing at a bus stop with her legally carried handgun excessively concealed. 19-year-old man displaying his illegally carried handgun attempted to rob her, but the woman defending herself shot him in the neck. That'll do it. That'll do the trick. Sent him running. Shortly afterwards, he was located a few blocks down the street, transported to the hospital, but it's too late. He had expired. Very good. Love stories with happy endings like that. What's this? That's not a happy ending. I'll have to read that later. We'll check on that. Here's a guy who started out right at the first of the year here, being sent to the hospital. Wound up being impaled on a deer statue. Actually, they look like elk to me. They're not deer, but if this statue is the same statue the guy was impaled on, it's definitely elk. Anyway, in the traffic circle in Philadelphia, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, climbed onto the Washington Monument in the middle of the Oval. When he slipped and fell on the antlers of the deer statue. Alrighty then. After falling, the left side of the man's body was impaled on the deer statue, causing a laceration and bleeding. Taken to the nearby hospital. Okay. Oh, well, it's one of those things, I guess. Another good story. And this one, I really do applaud this little girl here. Watch me get in trouble for calling her a little girl. But she was worked for a private security guard agency in Huntsville, Alabama. Another story out of Alabama. And a guy come into the club there with an AK-47. And, long story short, she lit him up and was all over. Convicted felon, prohibited from owning a firearm, made his way to his vehicle, come back, began opening fire with an AK-pattern weapon. And he started to make moves towards the door. He was still firing off shots, so I decided that I had to make a choice and go ahead and stop him from entering the club. I was behind a vehicle right here at the first handicap spot and basically maneuvered the vehicle around behind the maneuver. Behind the vehicle. Man, I'm having a hard time talking tonight. Anyway, she shot him and immediately began to render aid once the scene was deemed safe. "I'm not here to kill anyone," she said. "I saw one of the entry wounds was on his thigh, which can sometimes be a dangerous place to bleed out. I kept a trauma kit and a tourniquet on me, as everyone who carries should, and that's a fact." Williams was passed up at the hospital, now facing multiple charges, including possession of a firearm by a felon. So there's a couple of good things here. I mean, the whole story is good if we just ended it right there. But one of the things is, and this is something I stress really hard in my all of my defensive weapons classes, especially the concealed carry class, is trying to render aid in some manner to the guy that you just shot. Now, by rendering aid, it may mean that you're only able to throw him a blanket in a box of Kleenex or something because he's still conscious, and obviously if he can reach his weapon, he's still a threat and you should still be shooting. But otherwise, if he's down, you know, whether he's paralyzed or, you know, losing blood, in pain, whatever, he's not standing. If he's rendering aid is a dangerous thing to do, but it's the right thing to do for more than one reason. In the first place, if you can do it, now I say if you can do it without putting yourself in jeopardy, that's the first concern. If you can do it without putting yourself in jeopardy, it is the morally right thing to do. But the other thing is, it looks oh so good when you go to court, when you say, and this is exactly what she said here, and this is what I've told anybody who's taken my concealed carry class should remember this. Said, you're not, whatever you had in your mind at the time and you were going to kill him, okay, that's not what needs to come out in court or on, you know, in police reports or anything. It's vitally important that you say that you didn't want to kill him. You just had to stop what he was doing. If he died in the process, I've said this 100 times. If he died in the process, that's too bad. I'm sorry about that. But that was not your intention. Your intention was to stop whatever he was doing. So, second thing is, she was carrying a trauma kit and a tourniquet on her. And she says everyone that carries, you know, it's hard enough to get somebody just to carry an extra magazine, much less a trauma kit. But if you have one in the vehicle nearby or in your office, you know, whatever, on your saddlebags, on your motorcycle, your horse, or glove box, your car, desk drawer, whatever, have one handy. We've got trauma kits everywhere. And we've both been trained. Matter of fact, most of my friends and everybody around here has been trained in the use of blowout kit. So I would encourage all of you to get, just if you can, just a little bit of training. Actually, I encourage you to get a whole lot of training. But as we've talked about, I don't know how many thousand times, and me and NM Glock has talked about it before, how do you convince people how bad they need training? Because if you talk to most of them, they're already convinced, they already know everything. And it's really difficult to convince them that they need more training until something like this happens. So getting some additional first aid training and keeping a trauma kit nearby, it's hard for, you know, if you're a woman, you carry a purse, it's a little easier. If you're a man, especially if you're in a warm climate, you know, dock down in Mississippi, Tebow in Florida, Nan and Kingman in Arizona, it's difficult to carry extra stuff without making yourself very uncomfortable. But you can narrow that down to a very small kit if you've just got nothing but an Israeli bandage or an H bandage and a tourniquet. You know, if that's all you can carry, and a pair of gloves, you know, rubber gloves, latex gloves. If that's all you can carry, well, that's a tremendous help. If you can carry those three things, you're well on your way to, getting the bleeding shut off and buying enough time to get help there. But, something for you to think about anyway. Doc says only wanted to stop him with the first 15 rounds. He was still twitching, so that's why I poured gasoline on him. Let's see if we can squeeze one. This is a great story. Not really, but the NAACP has surprised us more than once with some of the stupidest things in the world. Well, this is no exception. They have really, I think they really topped the scale here now. The NAACP links earthquake signs in Oregon to white supremacy. And I didn't get that. I don't know how you managed to get this stupid in one lifetime. I really don't. I just don't understand. They're saying, a second here. They're saying on some of these public buildings, you know, the new city policy in Portland that requires public signs on brick buildings that they might collapse in an earthquake. Well, NAACP thinks that this is part of a long history of white supremacy aimed at forcing black people to move out of the neighborhoods. How in the hell do you come up with these things? I have read this story, and I can't for the life of me understand how someone can get white supremacy out of this. Let me read that first paragraph again. A new city policy requiring public signs on brick buildings warning that they might collapse in an earthquake is part of a long history of white supremacy aimed at forcing black people to move out of the neighborhoods, the NAACP of Portland, Oregon said. The group on Thursday decried the policy affecting some 1,600 unreinforced masonry buildings. They're on an average of 90 years old, many in areas with predominantly black population. Well, okay, why don't we take the signs off and y'all just gather inside some of these 1,600 unreinforced 90-year-old buildings and it'll just kill all of you, okay? Be done with it. Is that what you'd rather us do? So you put a sign up there to tell people that it's dangerous to be in these buildings, obviously. And that's a sign that we're trying to, or that they, I don't care one way or the other, that they're trying to get you to move out of the neighborhood. Okay, then don't. Stay in the building. Ask me if I care. For somebody that's that stupid, that's probably not a bad thing. Unbelievable. No matter what people do, they always have to play that race card, no matter what happens. Try to help somebody, you play the race card. I give up. I don't. All right, well, we've just about used up our time. Let me bounce over here to the chat room real quick and see what's going on before I bid you adieu here. Doc, that's a good idea. Belt over a shirt works fine. And that's one thing I like about the belt that I'm wearing. Is, the 511, or no, this is the Wilderness Tactical Belt. And this is all the only belt I wear. Actually, on Sundays I wear something different, but any other time, all the time, I wear a Wilderness Tactical Belt. And they make great tourniquets. with the way the buckle's shaped and everything. It's probably not the very best thing. A good tourniquet that you can apply with one hand is the best thing. A cat tourniquet or a rat tourniquet, what do they call it, the rapid application tourniquet or something like that. Both of those, the cat and the rat, are one-hand operation tourniquets, and they don't take up much room, and they are is very beneficial that you can operate these things with one hand. If you're trying to stop the bleeding, you're trying to restrain somebody, you're already injured. I mean, there's a number of things that may require you to have to make this happen with one hand, and that's extremely difficult, if not impossible, with a belt. But if a belt's all you have, that's certainly better than nothing by all means. But these other little tourniquets are about, they're probably 3/4 inch wide and about 6 or 7 inches long and about a 1/2 inch thick, and the little package that they come in. So not a lot of weight, not a lot of bulk, you know, not hard to carry one. And and it could actually be used to restrain somebody if you needed to. All right. Yakima says he carries a cat tourniquet in his EDC bag. Yeah. I've got some of both. And as I look back now, I need to pick one or the other so that, I have to, just like choosing a gun or doing, a million other things, to maintain that familiarization and where you can operate it effectively and quickly and almost instinctively. I don't think it's beneficial to have 2 or 3 different kinds of anything, and at least anything that might be used in an emergency. So I may rethink some of mine here, and I might trade some of these to some of the other guys or something, or just put them back for spares and make all mine the same. Okay, well, with all that being said, I think I'm going to start easing towards the door here. We've got, remember, the satellite guy is coming tomorrow, and satellite guy. And we should have good, fast, reliable internet here from now on, hopefully. So, and once again, if you guys feel the need, there is a donate button up in the top right-hand corner of the chat room, and help cover some of the many expenses that DeTinker and I have for keeping these things running here. We would appreciate that. All right, well, I'm going to scoot on out of here, and we'll see you guys Friday on a faster, newer, more gooder Liberty Lounge. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.
When the lights wear out, like sailing on the corner on a busy street.